नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Well, after the little introduction, colorful introduction by His Grace Rasabi Hari Prabhu, I thought I should read this verse here from Brahma Samhita, which of course is not one of Prabhupada's books, it's the book of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Well, it's the book of Lord Brahma, but the translation and commentary were done by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. But it's very nice, and Prabhupada would refer to it frequently, indeed every day at the greeting of the deities. We sing some verses from Brahma Samhita. So it's very relevant and very much connected to us. And particularly this verse, I think verse 56, is very, well, it's just an exceptionally beautiful verse. I'll read or try to sing the Sanskrit. It's a little tricky. Shriya Kanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kalpataravo Druma Bhumis Chintamani Gana Maitoyam Amritam Kataganam Natyam Gamanam Api Bhansi Priyasaki Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapi Tadasvadyam Api Cha Sayatra Shirapti Slavati Sura Vibhyascha Sumahan Nimesha Dakyo Vavra Jatina Hiyatrapi Samaya Bhaje Sweta Dvipam Tamaham Iha Golokam Itiyam Vidantaste Santa Shiti Vida Lachara Kati Paye. That's the Sanskrit, that's quite a verse, isn't it? Translation. I worship that transcendental seat known as Sweta Dweep, where, as loving consorts, the Lakshmis, in their unalloyed spiritual essence, practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss. And the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk. Where there's eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. Hare Krishna. It's very deep. It's very deep. There's a fairly extensive purport. Let me just read a little bit of it. Let's save. The sum and substance of it is that all the variegatedness of this mundane world, and much more variety over and above the mundane, are to be found in Goloka. The variety in the transcendental world is fully centralized, whereas in the mundane world it is not so, and hence productive of weal and woe. The centralized variety of Goloka is unalloyed and full of transcendental cognitive joy. The Vedas and sadhus, practicing devotion revealed by the Vedas, by availing the support of their individual cognitional aptitude, actuated by devotion, may have a sight of the divine realm, and by the power of the grace of Krishna, their tiny cognitive faculty, attaining the quality of infinitude, they are enabled to be on the level of the plane of enjoyments of Krishna. Do you think you understood that? Be honest, yeah. It's not easy. Anyway, let's say a few words about this, because it is very beautiful. And Ras Bihari Prabhu, just a little while ago, he was sort of indirectly, he was referring to this in the sense that we belong in that place, the higher place, the kingdom of God, and we don't belong in this very difficult, awkward material world. Not just awkward, not just difficult, sometimes it becomes impossible. Yes, so we don't belong here. Although people, of course, they struggle to find some place here which they can call their own and really become established in such a position. But they can't, because they're looking in the wrong place. Looking for the right thing, but in the wrong place. So let me just read the verse again, just the translation. I worship that transcendental seat. Now when he says seat, he doesn't actually mean like a chair. He's meaning in the sense that in the old British culture, the different people from the nobility, the dukes and earls and these people, they had their little areas they were in charge of, and they usually had a sort of a mansion or some palace or something that was their seat in their area, like their headquarters. So yeah, so he's saying I worship that transcendental seat means the headquarters of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. I worship that transcendental seat known as Swetadweep, where as loving consorts the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree. What does that mean? Purpose tree means desire tree. Desire tree. Where every tree is a transcendental desire tree. Where the soil is the purpose gem, it is the nature of wish-fulfilling stone. Where all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate means every step is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss. And the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. That's interesting. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk. Where there's eternal existence of transcendental time. Who is ever present? That's another interesting little point. Transcendental time. Who is ever present? And without past or future. And hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyacha Dejatane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adigora Bhakta Brenda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Vajkapacharupyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So anyway, again, it's just really nice to be here with you all. Most of you I recognize, not all. Some of you may be a little new to these things, I don't know, but possibly. Yes, so this is a verse from Brahmasmita, right at the end of Brahmasmita. Spoken life by Lord Brahma, who's famous as the creator of this universe we're in. Creator, or perhaps more appropriately, the engineer. The term create, in a sense, could be taken to indicate the person has manifested the ingredients which are then put together to form something. Like manifest the ingredients from a state of non-existence. But that's not what Lord Brahma does as the creator. As the creator, what Lord Brahma does is take the different ingredients, the different elements of material nature, and put them together in all different forms. So it's more engineering, construction, than in the very literal sense of the term creation. Creation from nothing can be done by the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, in this world, everything is going on. Just things are just being repurposed, if you understand what I mean. The existing ingredients, after they've been used for some time, and their sort of, their usefulness has come to an end, then they're taken and put together in other form. That's how things go on in this world. So anyway, but here, this is now Lord Brahma, great, great personality, very close associate of the Supreme Lord, describing the kingdom of God, the eternal spiritual world, which is the natural home of all of us. you know, those of you at least who have been involved in Krishna consciousness and practicing for some time, you would definitely have heard this little term, going back to Godhead. Back to Godhead. Back to the kingdom of God. Of course, obviously, you can only go back to somewhere that you've been, where you've been before. You can't go back to somewhere where you've never been. That's just the wrong idea completely. So this idea of back to Godhead, actually the term, literally, the actual English term was coined by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was he's one of our spiritual masters in our line, going back a few generations. Yeah, some generations back into the 19th century, basically the later 1800s, something like that. So he was preaching a lot in English in India, and he coined this little term, back to Godhead. What are we trying to do? For that matter, when anyone is practicing religion, and literally means any form of religion, ultimately, what they're trying to do is at least take a step or two or three on the path back to Godhead. It may be just a few steps, and there may be an awfully long way to go further, but that's what religion is. Religion is there to take us back to Godhead, to take us back to our natural home, that place where we really belong and where we can live eternally, which is not, unless you haven't noticed, but I think you have, it does not include exactly Pinetown. Pinetown is temporary. Pinetown is temporary. Yeah. So it is not exactly part of that. It's part of another realm, this material realm. So religion, you know, like, was it a week ago or whatever, a couple of weeks, something just not long ago at all, was coveting, right? And I remember we were driving around on, was it the Saturday or one of the days, when it was all happening, and in so many little temples there are people doing coveting. And you know, many of you know better than me, that when they do coveting, they carry the coveting, and the idea is they want to get something. This is what so many people have told me. I mean, really a lot of people. I want to get XYZ, therefore I will carry coveting for 3 years or something. So, and you know, there are all sorts. Yesterday was Shivaratri, and big focus on Lord Shiva. But there's some, at least in immediate terms, there's generally some idea that we worship Lord Shiva to get something material. But even though these religious activities are there, and there's so many of them, like in Christianity, give us this day our daily bread. It's the same idea. We want something. We want bread. And rather than just get it from the supermarket, we will approach God. You know, one thing, it'd be good if you learnt. In Russia, I spend I've spent a lot of time in Russia, really a lot, over the last, 37 years. Is it? No, sorry, 27. 27 years. And one thing I can tell you, particularly ladies, listen to this, they know how to make bread. You have not lived, well, I don't know about that, but it's really quite an experience. Russian black bread. I tell you what, it's just pretty amazing. Anyway, give us this day our daily bread. Some Russian black bread, please, preferably. With butter, if possible. So, but it's the same idea. Give us something worldly. But we are saying that really, ultimately, the whole idea of this sort of thing is that we should go back to Godhead. And these types of ideas that we worship God or Shiva or Durga or Hanuman or Madhaviran or whoever. Don't laugh. Don't you love it? I saw a picture of Madhaviran a little while ago. Yeah. You know, whoever they are, these different personalities, in order to get some worldly thing, it's just a very kind of, what would you say? Well, say just very lowly, beginning level type of practice on the path, the much more lengthy path, which is really taking us back to Godhead, back to the kingdom of God, where we belong. Yeah, so the thing is, though, that people don't understand, so many people don't understand, that the idea of religion is not simply somehow or other facilitate us getting ordinary material things so we can live nicely in a more pious type of way, something like that. By praying to God rather than just working hard or stealing. You know, by worshipping God we can get the same things that otherwise you might have to work hard for. So people just get caught up in that. They're caught up because they don't understand there is a life, there is a place beyond this, which is far nicer than this, far better. It's just a different dimension altogether, you could say, from what we have, what we experience in this world. So people get caught up that we'll practice religion to get money to live nicely here, to get health to live nicely here, and to get help in different ways so we can live nicely here. And generally they don't see beyond that. If maybe they have some idea of going to heaven or something, but the main idea is how to live nicely in this world by the grace of God or one of the gods. So but here now in Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, who's a great authority on everything, actually, including these subjects, he's giving us a little insight, a little perspective. Could I make a suggestion? Could we open a window? Do we have a... Oh, we've got AC, look at that. Does it work or is it ornamental? It's just, you know, it's a bit warm. Huh? Oh, they are working. Okay. means they're ornamental. So anyway, sorry about that. So here in this verse then, oh, well done. Thank you. Let's hope it reaches over here too. Here, Lord Brahma is describing, it's just very brief, but still it's very much to the point, describing certain particular important features of the kingdom of God. And in that way, drawing out differences between the world we're living in here in Pinetown and that world, the spiritual world. So let's just look at a few. In the spiritual world, every tree is a transcendental desire tree. You just ask the tree, can I have XYZ? And there you go. The tree will provide. In this world, trees, at least many trees or certain trees, they provide certain things, but only certain specific things. An orange tree provides oranges, etc., etc. Yeah. An orange tree cannot provide lychees. And it cannot provide, for example, Fanta grape. In the spiritual world, the trees, well, the verse, Lord Brahma says, every tree, not just some, but every tree is a transcendental desire tree and can provide whatever you like. Now you might think that if that's the case, then, you know, people can just ask, please give me this. Then you're going to have, you know, a lot of people getting all sorts of extraordinary things like, give me a BMW. In the kingdom of God, they don't drive BMWs. Oh, he's got a big... I'm in a BMW. I won't mention what it stands for. They don't even drive Mercedes-Benz. They don't even drive Rolls-Royces. They have flower aeroplanes. Yes, they're fragrant, and you just get in and you think, and you're there. So you don't need to drill into the planet and take oil and create this horrific oil business and rape the material nature. Yeah. And not only that, well, you might go to a desire tree and say, can I please have an orange? And there you go, you'll have an orange. Then you might say, well, can I have a few lychees too? And there you go, you'll have a few lychees. And could you make them cold, please? When the weather's hot. Could you make them cold, please? And they'll be cold. Yeah. But it's not, because the people are all great devotees, very great. They don't go asking the trees, give me millions of rands. Give me a gun. Like this. Give me good health. You don't have to pray for good health, because everyone has an eternal body. You cannot even get sick, even if you want to. The bodies are not structured like that. So yes, in the spiritual world, every tree is a desire, a wish-fulfilling tree. And then the next thing we read was the soil, the ground, the rocks. They are wish-fulfilling gems. Again, wish-fulfilling, the same idea. So there are just so many things all around. All the vegetation, the ground, will fulfill your every desire. But because the people are great devotees, their only desires are to please Krishna. Can you please supply me with some nice, cool lychees so I can offer them to Krishna? And then it's never out of season. Never out of season. And the lychees, well, you know the story of Lord Chaitanya when he was here 530 or so years ago in Bengal. Lord Chaitanya would take the devotees out on Harinam, chanting through the streets and just around the whole region. And there was one area, well, there were many areas where mango trees were growing, but there was one famous area. It's still there. It's called Amgat. Am meaning mango. So they went there and the weather was hot. And they're chanting and dancing enthusiastically and it's hot. And it's all going on for some time. And they arrived at that place. They're a bit fatigued and thirsty. And Lord Chaitanya, so they all sat down. Lord Chaitanya approached one mango tree. He took one mango, took the seed out of the mango, and planted the seed right there and then into the ground. That mango seed grew into a tree on the spot in front of everyone's eyes. We're talking about in a matter of a couple of minutes. There was a full-grown mango tree which was full of mangoes. And devotees, listen to this. The mangoes had no skins and they had no stones. They were just mango, just dripping and oozing divine mango juice. Did any of you ever have an Alfonso mango from Mumbai? Alfonso. They're the best mangoes in the world. You have not lived if you have not had an Alfonso mango. I'm telling you what. You've wasted at least 10% of your life. And maybe 20. So yeah. And these mangoes were just coming and coming and coming. And the devotees were just eating and eating, well, offering to Krishna, and eating and eating and eating. And they were just covered in mango juice. And they came there every day for a year. And it was the same thing every day for a year. It's within this world, it's just Bengal. In India, not far from here. It's within this world. But it's just a little sort of insight into what the spiritual world is like. Just little glimpse, little hint even, of what the spiritual world is like. And as Lord Rama says here, in Goloka Vrindavan, in the kingdom of God, that eternal realm, all the water tastes like nectar. What is it? Woolworths. What do they call it? Eight? PH 8? Woolworths PH 8. It's not your ordinary, you know, stuff you just buy down the road. This is Woolworths PH 8. They cost like five times, or more than five times what the regular water costs. So, well, I can't tell the difference so much, really. But in the spiritual world, all the water tastes like nectar. You know, I've discussed this verse on many occasions here and there. And what we normally do is, at this point, is we mention, well, all the water tastes like nectar. You've all had some form of nectar drink before. Creamy, sweet, maybe strawberry, some fruit, honey, cool, you know what I mean? A nectar drink. Yeah. Who is the best cook in Iskon, Pinetown, Sarnia, North Dean, whatever, wherever we are? Who's the best cook? Who is the best cook? Oh, we found her. What's her name?
Shravana.
Huh? Shravana. Shravana. Mataji Shravana. When Mataji Shravana makes a nectar drink, which is just like out of this world completely, and you could just drink till you drop. It's like the ordinary water in the kingdom of God. Don't mind. Don't mind. It's like the ordinary water. Yeah? Just the ordinary water. You just, you know, take a little and you don't even think about it. Yeah? So, therefore, Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, who has also written a commentary on this same Brahma Samhita, he raises the point, you may have heard us mention before, that if in the kingdom of God the ordinary water tastes like our, like Mataji Shravana, Shravana's best nectar, their ordinary water, what does their nectar taste like? We have not experienced that. We've only experienced Mataji Shravana's nectar. We're waiting for some Mataji. But we haven't experienced any of that. So we don't really, we can't comprehend it. Every word is a song in the kingdom of God. Even when you just say, you know, how are you? The most common little exchange. How are you? Well, there, how are you, is like our best singing. Just ordinary little chat, chit-chat. It's like our best singing. Who's our best singer? In Iskon, Pinetown, Sarnia, North Dean, Gillets.
We're
going to be last. Anyway, Vera Badra, it's between them, I'm sure. When Vera Badra Prabhu is singing so sweetly, it's just like a nightingale. You know, you've heard, many of you will have heard of Vyasaki Prabhu, who sings. He's a famous singer for many years. So Prabhupada, I was told that Prabhupada said that Vyasaki Prabhu is the nightingale of Bengal. Yeah, the nightingale of Bengal. So Virabhadra Prabhu may be the nightingale of, where do you live?
Cliffdale,
Pine Town, Sarnia, and all. Yeah. So when he is singing, and it's just so sweet, and the devotees are just, it's making them emotional. It's just like their ordinary talk. How are you in the kingdom of God? How's life? Just it's nothing like a formality. Then in the kingdom of God, in Goloka Vrindavan, every step is a dance. Well, let me just go back. If every word is a song there, if their ordinary talking is like our best singing, Jiva Goswami questions, what is it like when they sing? We have no experience of that. We only have experience of Virabhadra. We have to make do with that. The nightingale of Clifton. Alright, but now every step is a dance. When they're just walking down the road, just, you know, going nowhere, going to work on Monday, blah. It's just too ordinary. But when they're walking down the road, it's like our best dancing. Who is the best dancer in this area? Also, maybe Patita Pavan Mitani, if not Raghunath Bhatta Prabhu. Anyway, it's the monks from between them somehow. Yeah, so when they're just their ordinary walking is like our best dancing. So what is it like when they dance? We have no experience of anything like that. We only have experience of Bhakta Chura. That's nice. It's not bad. It's nice. Yeah. And, sure, you know, amazing things. There is the eternal existence of transcendental time. Who? It's interesting, not just which. There's eternal existence of transcendental time. Who is ever present and without past or future? And hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment. It's not that in the spiritual world there is no time at some sort of vacuum or, you know, some sort of strange thing like that. But the time in the spiritual world, it doesn't degrade anything. Here we are having our little program, and, you know, it's now, what is it? It's coming up to 7. What did we do? We started, it was just after 6, I think. Something like that. So, you know, an hour, 45 minutes has passed, and it's gone. We are all say, 1 hour older. We're all going to die 1 hour sooner than we were going to die 1 hour ago. We just came from the memorial ceremony for Dukhi Radha Devi Dasi, who was murdered. It's in one way or another, it's going to come to all of us. But now it's going to come an hour closer, an hour sooner. Yeah. Time is always degrading. Time is always degrading in this world. But in the kingdom of God, time is just a background for the pastimes to take place. Just for the enjoyable, transcendental pastimes between Krishna and his devotees to take place. So time is really simply something to facilitate. It's a facility for the enjoyment, the enjoyable pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Aha. And therefore they don't age there. They don't age. Everyone's been the same age since whenever. And they'll continue to be the same age. Life is eternal. And there are no problems. There are no political problems like we have in South Africa. But it's not just South Africa. America, England, Russia, India. I don't know if you keep up with the news. It's probably better not to. But if you do, at least a bit, you'll see how many problems, political problems. It's amazing. In America, they have this kind of bizarre president. Ooh. In South Africa, too. But yeah, anyway, you better, I don't know, keep your fingers crossed or pray to Krishna that our friend Julius, well, I don't know what's going to happen with him, if he's going to take over sometime. Life will become interesting. So you don't have political problems in the kingdom of God. You don't have health problems. You don't have work problems. Because everyone's eternal. And everyone just serves Krishna and plays with Krishna. And that's all that everyone does. No anxiety problems. Emotional problems. Family problems. Nothing like that. Life is just simply just an ocean of nectar all the time. So, of course, the thing is, we are looking for that in this world. People would like to live forever, very nicely, with nice situation, nice family and associates and friends, and nice facilities. Everyone would love to live like that. But, you all know the but. It just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. And then on top of that, we are aging and we are going to die. I mentioned in our program we had this afternoon for Dukhi Radha Devi Dasi. I remember when I first started giving classes in our temples, I was 21. I just started becoming a practicing Krishna consciousness just a few months before. And when I would give a class like, here we are, gathering of people, so I'd give classes in this sort of situation. And I'd look around and I'd look around and you know what I'd see? I was the youngest person. Often, if not the actual youngest, but pretty close to it. Now I look around and, you know, I won't mention any names, but I'm at least almost the oldest person here. I'm older than the great majority of you, I can tell. Yeah, that's the nature of this world. And it's not just going to go on and on and just go on. It's going to come to an end. Life in this world is like that. But life in the kingdom of God is very different. Wonderful, amazing, even you could say unimaginably wonderful situation. Because we cannot picture what is that sort of nectar that they make there. Their ordinary water is like Mataji Shravana's best super duper nectar. The ordinary water. We cannot imagine what their nectar is like. Because we have no experience at all. Or how they dance. We can only think of Bhakti Charan and maybe one or two others. But not like they dance. We can't even imagine. Yeah. So, but as we read, if we, we read, the Vedas and the sadhus practicing devotion which is revealed by the Vedas and who are developing their mood of devotion may have a sight of the divine realm and by the power of the mercy of Krishna they may be able to get a real insight into what is the kingdom of God and even enter the kingdom of God. So devotees, keep chanting. Whatever you do, don't stop chanting. And when you're chanting, well, you know, we say, when you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We say, sometimes we say, there are three rules to make your chanting good. There are three rules, things you should do. First rule, chant attentively. Second rule, chant attentively. And third rule, as much as humanly possible, chant attentively. How's that? If you want a secret, secret insight into how to progress. Plus, chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. So keep chanting, devotees. Try to chant attentively, in a mood of prayer. Not in a mood like, I know how to chant, I've been chanting for years. I'm a good chanter, I'm a professional. Yeah, I can chant anywhere, anytime, no problem. It's just part of me. No, in a mood of real dependence and humility. Praying to the Lord, in a prayerful mood. My Lord, please give me mercy so I can glorify you appropriately. Try to chant nicely and chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Associate with devotees and get some regular service. Some regular service. So you can have a meditation that I'll be going to the temple next week on Tuesday, for argument's sake, to do my service, which is something specific, like a mission My service is to, for example, make garlands for the deities, or to help cook every Wednesday for the deities. Something like that. A regular service. It really helps us come closer to Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Okay. Oh. I gave him 10 rands to do that. I thought he'd forgotten.